Gordon Adams of the Stimson Center at American University, and writing about the budget resolutions that both the House and Senate are introducing and starting to mark up today, particularly the defense portions of that and the overseas contingency operation budget. Gordon, you and I have spoken on any number of occasions about the overseas contingency operations budget. What's your reaction when you see that the House is proposing appropriating the Department of Defense at about the $500 billion level as required by the Budget Control Act, but then sticking the extra $38 billion that the Defense Department requested in the Overseas Contingency Operation budget? Thanks for joining me as always, Gordon.
Great to be on with you, Francis. You know, the Overseas Contingency Operations piece of the defense budget has become the budgetary crack cocaine for everybody now. Everybody's got one way or another of trying to jiggle with this. The administration sent up a budget that asked for $51 billion when it was no way one could attribute the costs of counterterror and Afghani operations at that level. So it clearly contained a lot of stuff that wasn't really war-related costs. The House Budget Committee has now doubled down. They basically added, you know, another $40 billion to what the administration asked for, and it's really a dodge. It's probably one of the most cynical reuses of the Overseas Contingency Operations account that I've ever seen. What, in effect, the House Budget Committee was able to do was to have their budgetary discipline by appropriating, by doing a budget resolution that says we're sticking with the Budget Control Act caps. And they're able to eat the cake at the same time, which is increasing the defense budget by the $38 billion that the administration wanted to increase it, but they throw it over in this outside the caps overseas contingencies operation account, which just perpetuates this phenomenon of sort of undisciplined and irresponsible budgeting for defense.
The suggestion has been made to do something like this on a number of occasions, and I told you before we went on the air that back in February, Bob Hale and Dov Zakheim were here, both former comptrollers at the Defense Department, and I said, why couldn't you do this? I wish I could say I was anticipating this. I'm not quite that smart, but I asked both of them that question, and the response essentially was it's a really bad idea because, and each of them laid out a reason or two differentiating from the other as to why this is a bad idea. So it's kind of understood around town, both parties and all ideological stripes, that this isn't going to fly.
No, I think it isn't going to fly. It's a bad idea, of course, because the overseas contingency operations budget breaks any budget discipline the Pentagon ever imagined it had, and allows them enormous flexibility that no other agency has in the federal government. I think the bottom line here is this is the opening shot in the budgetary war. It's not going to fly. A lot of people in the House have already condemned it. Members of the Senate, including John McCain, have condemned it. I suspect that the Senate budget resolution is going to ask for the administration's amount for overseas contingencies operations and go in another direction here. So it's the opening shot. It's the House, I think the Budget Committee in the House trying to solve its political problem at home, try to do something that both makes the defense hawks happy and makes the deficit hawks happy at the same time. So we get our budget discipline under the Budget Control Act, and we get our OCO increase for defense. It doesn't sound like it's got an enthusiastic endorsement from his own caucus, especially the Tea Party people in the House. It might not even pass the floor in the House of Representatives. It's not going to be in the Senate's bill. So whatever the Senate passes is going to have to be conferenced with the House, and I think this idea is just going overboard.
So that's kind of where I was headed. I mean, the idea that let's say this passes the House. Let's say, or something that looks very much like it passes the House. It goes to conference with the Senate, which doesn't include, as you mentioned, any of this language, and we'll learn more throughout the afternoon about what Senator Enzi, the chairman of the Senate Budget Committee, has in mind as that committee begins to mark up its budget resolution today. And you can find the details of that on federalnewsradio.com. But eventually, as you say, these two bills will come together. Let's say this provision and these dollar amounts go out the window during that conference process. What's the mechanism, what's the process by which that bill then goes back to the House? If it doesn't include this language, does it still have a chance?
Well, I don't know that anything else the Senate comes back with is going to pass the House, so we could be in a very tricky situation here where Senator McConnell's desire to show that Republicans can govern is revealed to be something like the man behind the curtain in The Wizard of Oz. He can't really make it happen in the other chamber, neither can John Boehner. And frankly, under this circumstance, I find it probably pretty implausible that the Senate would write a budget resolution that would be so attractive to the Democrats in the House that they would do for John Boehner what they did on the Department of Homeland Security money this year, which is to help him pass something that his own members are going to reject. I just don't see that happening in a budget resolution because McConnell only needs 51 votes to pass whatever he wants, and he's got enough of those votes among the Republicans in the Senate. Why would he cut a deal that Pelosi wants to sign in the House? This is a budgetary war between the two ends of Pennsylvania Avenue, and the Republicans are demonstrating once again that they have to struggle to get enough of a consensus to actually get to the trenches and have the war.
Gordon Adams of American University, looking at the budget resolutions as introduced in the House of Representatives yesterday and in the Senate today, and the details on both of those on federalnewsradio.com right now. You write in a note that you sent yesterday, the proposed House resolution would constitute the most cynical and fraudulent use yet made of the OCO budgetary gimmick. I'm not quite sure what you're trying to say with that comment, Gordon, but I'm guessing you don't think it's a good idea, my friend.
I think I think we've handed this sort of slush fund, magic asterisk, magic money thing for the last 15 years that has allowed now everybody in the game, the Congress, to use it as a hole to park their budgetary problems, the Defense Department to use it as a budgetary hole to park their post-sequester problems, and even the White House, who merrily use this to fill in holes in the defense budget that they can't put into the base budget under the Budget Control Act. Aside from that, it's a really great idea.
What do we have any sense that it's going to go away anytime, though? Because it seems like people like it a lot because they can stash stuff there.
Well, you've seen how hard it is for people to get off crack.
Mm.
This has become everybody's crack cocaine. It's going to be awfully hard to make this disappear when it's so convenient in an era of budgetary caps.
What should we be watching for as this process plays out in the coming weeks, Gordon?
Well, I think you're going to see a lot of back and forth on the Hill. Budget resolution isn't something that the president has to sign. He can critique it and potshot at it from the outside, and he's already doing that. But there he's just establishing the trench warfare about priorities in budgeting. He did a very smooth move by asking for more than the Budget Control Act caps for defense because, he knew that he was going to be bidding the Republicans upwards and embarrassing them between their deficit hawks and their defense hawks. So we're watching, I think, a wonderful shadow play that we'll see mostly action on Capitol Hill for the next month or so while they try to figure out how they can actually put an agreed-upon package together.